Good afternoon, friends. You are listening to EBC Radio 1170 AM, Aapki Choice. And I am your host, Alka. Time had been very, very difficult with this COVID-19 pandemic. Lots of people were affected mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. So I would like to introduce the next episode in the Catholic Charities New Jersey Hope and Healing COVID-19 Response weekly series, which is entitled Positivity Power Lifting. I want to welcome your host, actually not host today, she's my guest, Noelle Davies, Program Manager of Catholic Charities New Jersey Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program responding to COVID-19 through March of 2021. Welcome, Noelle, on EBC Radio. How are you doing?
Hello. Thank you, Alka. I'm doing well. Hello once again, and good afternoon to our EBC listeners.
So we know you have been on EBC Radio, but can you remind our listeners about the New Jersey Hope and Healing Program?
Yes, thank you, Alka and EBC Studio, for providing us this platform to reach the South Asian community and Northern and Central Jersey of our coverage areas. I'm going to remind our listeners today that the New Jersey Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program, which is a CCP, began responding to COVID-19 in April of 2020 through 12 different nonprofit providers and social service entities. And that was in collaboration with the New Jersey Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, Disaster and Terrorism Branch, through a FEMA SAMHSA grant. Our Hope and Healing Program at Catholic Charities is actually comprised of a partnership between the teams located within Catholic Charities Archdiocese of Newark, the Diocese of Metuchen, Diocese of Patterson, and Diocese of Trenton, which is the lead partner. The program is currently responding to the COVID-19 pandemic into March of next year, with disaster response crisis counseling, and that's a neighbor-to-neighbor approach to disaster response work. Our program is comprised of regular community members, not mental health clinicians, who are trained in the CCP model. They offer short-term, peer-based emotional support and information and referral pertaining to a given disaster. So in this weekly series, we are focusing on some tips to improve mental health and resiliency, as well as resources that you might need or maybe needed by anyone impacted by COVID-19, by all of us really living in this environment that's been created by this pandemic over the past month. And we will be looking to specifically tailor the content to our South Asian community listening when it's applicable.
Thank you. We are so happy to have this series here on EBC Radio. So, Noelle, can you tell us about today's show? Typically, you have brought resources to our listeners, but I understand today you and I are talking about some more of your own program content.
Yes. So, a big part of what a disaster response crisis counseling program does is to connect community members to resources and programs that they might benefit from as a result of a disaster, so like the COVID-19 pandemic. I've been very fortunate to date that we've been able to bring on to the series here at EBC different partners that we've made throughout the community. They were able to educate our listeners about the program services they offer and the resources that are available. But today, I would like to spend some time once again talking about the other side of the work my program does, and that's offering emotional support, teaching psychological resiliency skills, and coping tactics.
I recall that we spoke about skills for psychological recovery before, which gave me a lot to think about. So I'm excited to hear what you have prepared for us today. What can you tell us about today's topic, positive thinking?
Yes, thank you, Alka. As you say, we did already cover skills for psychological recovery, which we abbreviate SPR. And that's a good place to start with program content because it's really more of a framework. Then we use that framework to build up mental toughness and resiliency among those that might be recovering from the impacts of this disaster and other issues, really. It's applicable across, many areas of what you might be suffering from in life. So our listeners that might have missed the episode, I do invite them to find the recording on the resources tab of my program's website. That can be found at www.catholiccharitiestrenton.org/services/hope-and-healing. It's kind of a mouthful. Mm-hmm. So anyone that did catch that episode will remember that one of the skills that we talked about was promoting helpful thinking. And I think a lot of people actually will call that positive thinking. But I will note that I do think helpful versus unhelpful is probably a better way to think about our emotional reactions. because I don't want anyone to think that emotions are necessarily positive or negative in the sense of being good or bad. We are entitled to experience a range of emotions in response to crisis, and that they are all very natural. And we use the term positive thinking only because it's more familiar with the way we all tend to talk about helpful emotions. So today I want to dive into that practice of positive thinking and how to intentionally use it as a coping tactic for issues our listeners may be facing.
Well, yes, that sounds very promising. As you say, I have heard of the power of positive thinking before. So perhaps like many of our listeners, so what new information will you share with us today on this topic?
Yeah, thank you for making this point. I do agree. The phrase, the power of positive thinking, is pretty well known, probably to many of our listeners. And so I want to take a moment to remind our listeners that much of what we'll discuss today is not going to necessarily be earth-shattering new information. After all, I'm not a mental health guru or even a licensed mental health clinician. I'm just simply a community member that has been trained in the CCP model and that has had many conversations with other community members about how to more successfully and healthfully address whatever crisis that they may be facing. So what works for most and what doesn't? So my purpose here today is to invite you, our listeners, to think about this maybe familiar subject of positive thinking in a new way. This is going to be thought of as a skill to be practiced and strengthened, like a muscle. So many people describe stress, sadness, depression, grief, these types of unhelpful emotions, as like a heaviness or a weight that presses on them. So I actually want you to think of the skill of positive thinking like weight training. That is going to help you lift that heavy spirit. Perhaps you may have heard of the phrase lifting the spirit without really even thinking about that in that metaphorical way. So I'm going to actually ask our listeners to picture their spirit and their mindset whenever you're sad or down as a heavy weight that you can actually lift in your mind through practice and mental exercises. So, Alka, are you ready to learn how to be a positivity power lifter?
Yes, I'm excited to learn this skill. How do we begin?
Okay, so I think a good place to begin in practicing positivity is just first to acknowledge that we know that changing our mindset may not necessarily change the negative situation that is causing it. So those things might be outside of our control, but we can limit the impact of negative situations on our well-being by changing our attitude or response to the situation, because we have the power to do that. Mm-hmm. So you can start small by finding a way to quickly redirect your emotions in the moment when you feel yourself being pulled into a negative place. Mm-hmm. Then when you find something that works, you can begin to kind of preemptively expose yourself to that positivity trigger on a regular basis to store up that positivity for later when you might need it. Mm-hmm. And hopefully then you won't be so easily pulled back into that negative mood.
This sounds like a good idea, but what would be an example of a quick way to redirect your emotions?
Okay, so when you begin to notice your mood is becoming more negative, or even immediately after you experience something that you know will trigger a bad mood due mm-hmm. to past experiences, you can, for instance, write a list of positive words or phrases that you associate with helpful and positive thoughts and emotions. Mm-hmm. And you either keep listening or keep reading over your list to yourself until you feel your mood start to improve. Mm-hmm. So an example would be a list of words that works for me: puppies, mountaintops, chocolate chip cookies, ocean breezes. And so you can see from my list that these are just random things that I enjoy. Yeah. And if you do like more structure, though, of course, there are people who prefer to repeat maybe a mantra or a phrase like, I will intentionally love my life and the people in it. And then you just kind of repeat that to yourself. Mm-hmm. I find that, you know, words usually work for me, but other people might be more effectively moved by pictures, sounds, scents. So you can tap into those other senses by creating maybe a pictorial collage of images that you would associate with positive thoughts. You can listen to a song that you find really inspiring or that inspires your positivity. You can light candles, burn incense, smell a handkerchief that holds a scent that you find comforting. You can do all those things at once, really, actually, to engage all your senses. But whatever it is, whenever you find what works, mm-hmm. you would then want to make a practice of exposing yourself to these positivity generators every day. So maybe before you even get out of bed, because you don't want to forget, and you also want to start the day in a good mood. But I also do recommend that you would keep this mood-altering aid easily accessible on your person all day. That way you can return to it if you start to get kind of pulled back into that negative space later in the day. So, you know, save it to your phone, keep it in a personal pocket. For instance, I have a photo album on my phone of cute pictures of my dog, and so they always make me smile.
Well, that seems very simple and easy. It occurs to me that this is a good way to change my mood when I experience a momentary change in my emotions, more than if I am struggling with serious concerns or hardships. So like if someone says something I don't like, or maybe if I hear something on the news that is upsetting, right?
Yes, absolutely. So like we said, this is just the start. And I've entitled today's episode Positivity Powerlifting for a Reason. This is just like strength training or learning any new skill. Mm-hmm. We have to start easy with the negative emotions that are easier to alter, and then we can level up and try to lift some heavier hardships. So, yes, I think this practical or quick course correction is best applied to something like hearing something unpleasant but not heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. News stories would be a good example of something that falls into that category. And are a good example actually also of a situation that we cannot change, so we do need to control our response to avoid a negativity trap. So, for instance, of course, throughout COVID-19 pandemic, we have continued to hear really unpleasant news stories. And, you know, most lately, we learned of the existence of a new, more aggressive strain of the virus. And there's not much that we can do to alter this fact. And then we might be tempted to just avoid listening to the news altogether to avoid exposure to that unpleasantness. This is, in fact, good information for us to have so we can make an informed decision that will keep us and our loved ones safe. Mm-hmm. So then what do we do? So first, I would suggest that we can set boundaries in our interactions with negative environments. So, for instance, we all know certain newscasters or social media outlets that may be trying to intentionally get to engage us. And they don't really care if that engagement is positive or negative, but we can choose less inflammatory sources of information, or perhaps at least limit our exposure to a certain time of day, a certain amount in the day, and then we're going to be ready with our positivity training to immediately redirect ourselves. So, for instance, you may not want to view something that triggers you just before going to bed because you're going to be vulnerable due to being tired, and you're going to be more likely to allow it to interfere with your sleep. And you want to have your positivity aid ready to help you redirect yourself.
Well, this is a good point about how negativity can keep you up at night. I know that when I'm tired, I am then less likely to take bad news well the next day. So it's a vicious cycle.
Yes, this is 100% true. It's so important to engage in physical practices that support our training. So whether that's training our bodies or our minds, right? So. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we do, right, like you say, put yourself at a disadvantage. Without enough sleep, healthy, nutritious diet, moderate exercise, our bodies just don't work as effectively, which includes our brains and our hormones. And this inefficiency or sluggishness can lead to difficulty with mood control. But I will point out that healthy bodies can only get us so far when it comes to having a healthy mindset. I think we have all had that experience of feeling just mentally exhausted, where our body is not actually physically tired, but we still feel exhausted from stress, negativity, and we try to solve this fatigue with sleep, but we can't sleep because it's not actually our body that's tired, but our mind. So that's where this positivity training can actually come in, because we do need to do something that's going to break this cycle, as you aptly pointed out, Elka. Mm-hmm. And physical solutions are not the only solutions here.
So what else can we do that is not physical to break the cycle and help our minds be more positive?
So another practice in our positivity training that can help here is called mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And mindfulness is the practice of purposely focusing your attention on the present moment and accepting it without judgment. Formal mindfulness-based stress reduction programs have been shown to help reduce physical and psychological symptoms in people facing a variety of challenges, including even cancer and chronic pain. So learning to live more in the present is especially helpful when the future is uncertain. Fears about the future are typically the thoughts that make sleep difficult. Those what if, something like, you know, what if I or my child catch COVID-19 despite my best efforts? Mm-hmm. What if there is a long-term side effect to the vaccination I've just received? You know, these are the what ifs that I hear in the job that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing your mind to cycle through fears and anxieties over future or past events that we cannot necessarily control is not only not helpful, it's harmful if it keeps us up at night and it prevents us from getting the sleep we need to be healthy. So choosing to focus on the present truths and using positive mantras to replace those thoughts is actually a proven best practice. But as I've mentioned, it's hard to practice a new skill when you're tired. So you don't want to wait for those intrusive thoughts to keep you up at night before you actually start trying mindfulness.
This makes sense that we need to practice mindfulness before we can really use it. So perhaps you can give us an example of how to do this.
Yes. So to introduce mindfulness into your life, you would want to dedicate some time in your day, even just 5 minutes would work, to stop whatever you're doing and just be present and mindful of the moment you're in. To start, you can bring your consciousness to your senses. What are you currently touching, smelling, hearing? As a beginner, you may want to eliminate some of the sensory distractions at first to allow yourself to more easily tune into the moment by sitting comfortably in a quiet place, closing your eyes. It also might be helpful to take slow, deep breaths to help you focus. So next, you're going to then spend some time moving in your mind beyond what you're sensing and begin to notice the way that you're feeling in response to what you're sensing. And it's important here to not judge those responses, but simply notice the facts and what is happening. You're going to keep kind of a childlike curiosity toward the moment. Your goal is to simply be present, focus on your presence, reflect on your presence with complete impartiality. And you'll be surprised how calming and positive that practice can actually be, because it forces us to stop judging ourselves and our circumstances, and we might not have noticed that that's what we were doing. And then once you've mastered being able to be present in a quiet and comfortable moment, you can start to level up by allowing yourself to be mindful of things and occurrences throughout your day. So when you're about to take the first bite of your lunch, for instance, mm-hmm. you would do it with mindful intention. You notice the flavor, the texture, the sound, the response of your body to the food. After you're able to invoke mindfulness in uncharged moments, you're able to deploy the skill in moments of duress, like when your mind is racing and you're not able to sleep.
This is very interesting. I have heard of this type of practice before, but I may be thinking of meditation. Is there a difference between mindfulness and meditation? And is this another practice you recommend?
Okay, that's a great question. And I think it may be beyond my ability to answer within this show. But for our purposes here today, which is to become positivity powerlifters, I would suggest that meditation can be a next step to mindfulness to help overcome particularly negative thoughts and emotions by resetting back to zero so then we can intentionally meditate on positive things. So once you've calmed your mind through that non-judgmental noticing of the moment that you're in, you can shift to moving beyond that moment to neutrality and then intentionally introducing positivity. So, for instance, if we're going to return to that first bite of lunch, okay, as long as that food is a positive experience for you, as it is for many, but not everyone, but this is the example we've chosen, after you notice all the elements of that moment, you can decide to meditate on the state of being hungry or satiated or full. And these words denote, they speak to us of experiences that are both personal and universal. They can lead us to thinking of a time we were particularly hungry, perhaps on a long trip as a child, and then how good it felt to eat and satiate that hunger, even to the point of fullness in a positive way, of course. So I hope maybe that occurred for everyone this past week for Thanksgiving meals. So thinking of that, right, then we consider how many people gathered with friends and families for Thanksgiving in person or remotely, how full and happy they each felt, how all cultures in the world gather with food for holidays, and how many people have been full and happy throughout human history, and we imagine how they felt. And soon enough, we're really not thinking about any one particular thing. We're just sitting there in that state of fullness and happiness. We just hold that in our minds. So you can see how meditation can lead you then from neutrality, and then to positivity as you choose. It's kind of a guided journey. And so there are, in fact, lots of guided meditations online that can help with that journey, because it can be really difficult to find your way to a positive place if you're not experienced, or if you're coming from maybe a particularly negative place, because that's going to make the mental journey a little harder.
I guess your program is another place to go for this guidance.
Yes, it helps to train with a trainer. I think a lot of us know. So if you've tried some of these ideas at home and you find that they aren't working, you may want to get more information from a professional. That can be a mental health clinician, or it can be one of my crisis counselors. Either way, I encourage everyone to call 732-204-6510 to one of my Hope and Healing crisis counselors. They can teach you about mindfulness and meditation practices, or refer you to additional resources so you can explore the topic more on your own. Or if you want to get help from a mental health clinician, they can make that referral. We also offer virtual mindfulness and meditation groups. You can find those on our virtual calendar on our website, which again is www.catholiccharitiestrenton.org/services/hope-and-healing.
Thank you, Noel. This has been very informative. We are running out of time. So are there any last tips you have for us about positive thinking?
Yes, I think that we find positivity can be reflected back to us if we let it. So if you do positive things, you may find you will begin to think and feel more positively. So pay it forward. This means sharing kindness with those around you by maybe volunteering your time at a food pantry or complimenting a stranger's shoes. Practice gratitude, I would say. Say thank you when someone helps you, even in small ways. Mm-hmm. Remind yourself of things in your life that you're thankful for. And I would say most importantly, give yourself credit for little improvements in this learning and training process. We cannot expect to always think positively at all times of the day, but just the intentional practice of positivity can have great benefits for your mood, your body, and even your relationships.
Noel, thank you very much for bringing this information to our EBC listeners. I want to also encourage our listeners that if you or a friend or neighbor needs help with COVID-19 impacts, please call NJ Hope and Healing at 732-204-6510, or help and support are only one phone call away. So do not forget to tune in again next week and send us questions and topics ideas for this series at hopeandhealing@ccdom.org. So with that said, thank you so much, Noel, for coming on Airwaves of EBC Radio, and looking forward to be speaking to you next Tuesday.
Thank you very much.